Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's all stand up and start singing some songs, huh?
In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be unto all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased."
No world, the angels dancing.
When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
Statement which both of them told about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things that were told by the shepherds.
Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as had been told them. Let's all stand and sing this last song together.
Long live.
To remember a really important night of our history. More importantly, this night is so holy and sacred to God. See, up until this point, for thousands of years, God's heart broke as he watched his children struggle under the power of sin and death. And we had no way to get to him. God's great love and mercy, he made a way for us. And on this night, in a tiny town of Bethlehem, unheard of, lowly shepherds of the fields, high and mighty kings of earth, and hosts of heavenly angels gathered over this spot and gazed upon the face of a child. They gazed upon the face of God, the creator of everything, lying in a manger as a baby. But even more awesome and more reason to gaze in silence and absolute awe is that this baby was born with a purpose. Not only is this baby God, but this baby came to be Emmanuel, who's God with us, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who 33 years later, like a lamb to the slaughter, would face the cross and lay his life down for our sins that we can never repay to him. He looked death in the face and declared, "You are defeated. I'm taking my family back." So sing one more time and praise God for this night, for this holy night that he came down to earth to save us of our sins. Let's sing that one more time. Christ is the Lord. Christmas to everybody. We're glad you came. You guys can look to one another and say Merry Christmas and have some glad tidings.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for coming out on this cold and wet Christmas Eve. We're so glad that you've come here to join with us as we celebrate Jesus' arrival. This past month at church, we've been talking about this theme, Christmas is here. And we've been using it as the beginning of a sentence. Christmas is here, and then finish the sentence. We've been trying to look at Christmas in a new and fresh way and talk about the arrival of Jesus and what it means to us. And the first week in our series, we talked about Christmas is here and it's about time. Christmas is here about and it's about time. Remember when you were little and it was this night, the one night of the year where you couldn't get to sleep at night because you were so excited about tomorrow morning? and you just couldn't wait. And finally you would wake up and you would say, aha, it's about what? It's about time. It's here. Well, as we looked at the Christmas story, we began to see that God has promised us that he was coming. That for thousands of years, over dozens and dozens of ways, he told the people of the world that he was coming. And then the Bethlehem story fulfilled all those promises. Now, as we look past the Christmas story, we look to the return of God to our place. We know that we can trust his future promises because God kept his past promises. We saw that at the perfect time, Jesus came. And he came as the fulfillment of dozens and dozens of promises. And we learned that week that, you know what? We can trust God today because he fulfilled his past promises about his arrival. And he's going to fulfill his promises to us about his return. It's about time. God's going to come at the right time. The second thing that we saw in our Christmas story is Christmas is here and almost everyone missed it. It's interesting as you look at the details of the Christmas story that the people that really should have known, the people that should have caught it, those ancient Jewish people that had studied the Old Testament since they were knee-high to their parents, should have got it that God was showing up. But as we look at the details of Christmas, we see that some key characters missed it and that God had to remind them that, no, this is it. This is the time. We saw with Mary and with Joseph and with some of the other folks that God wasn't working exactly how they thought. You know, sometimes God does stuff outside of our little box. We think, you know what? I'll believe in God. I'll follow God if he does this. But God often does this and this and this and this. And that's what happened to the Christmas story. And sometimes in our lives today, we miss what God is doing because we have this preconceived idea that he will only do it this way. And so sometimes we miss what he's doing because we're preoccupied with other things or because we choose not to believe or because we think God's just going to only do it this way. If God does this for me, I will believe in him. And God says, well, I did this for you and this for you and this for you. And we saw that sometimes people miss the story. They're caught off guard, caught by surprise. The third week we looked at, Christmas is here, why does it matter? We celebrate a lot of birthdays in our culture, all the birthdays in your families. We celebrate as a nation the birth of some of our founding fathers and heroes, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. What's so special about the birth of Jesus? Why do we celebrate his birthday? And we learned that, you know what, God came at the right time of God's master plan to reconnect us to him. That if you look at all the history of mankind from the very beginning of the human race to the very end, whenever it's going to be, and what is God's master plan for it all, we found that God had Jesus come right at the strategic point of his master plan. And you know what? We also find on a personal level that when we really want God to show up and we really seek him, he will show up. His master plan for you, his master plan for me is that I would find the Son. So we saw that it really does matter. Yesterday, we looked at Christmas is here and why should we adore him? So let's adore him. Because of who he is and because of what he's done, we should adore the child. The word adoration that we sing, you know, come let us what? Adore him. That word adore means that I take everything that I am from my physical body, my hands, my mouth, my eyes, my ears, and I give everything to him, but not just my physical body, everything that's on the inside, the deepest part of who I am. I call out to him. I sing to him. I adore him just with my complete body and my complete soul and spirit, everything that I am because he's worthy. He's worth it because of who he is and what he's done. And you know, tonight we're wrapping up this whole series. Christmas is here, and it was a sacred night. Do you remember Michelangelo's famous painting about God and Adam? There's God. He's picked a beautiful painting of God reaching down and pointing his finger down to humanity. And then there's Adam laying there, and he's reaching up and pointing his finger. And right at the moment, just about the time that God's finger and Adam's finger touches, that becomes a sacred moment. Whenever God, whenever heaven touches earth, it becomes a sacred moment. And in the Christmas story, we see all kinds of sacred moments. We see the sacred moment of Gabriel the angel talking to Mary and telling her she's going to have a child. We see the sacred moment when the shepherds come and they tell Mary and Joseph about the angels. We see the sacred moment when the wise men come and they bow their knee before Jesus. And we see in the hearts of the folks that were there that very first Christmas, we see some sacredness. We see their recognition that these are a connection between heaven and earth in human experience. And in fact, in the story of Jesus' birth in the book of Matthew, it says that when Mary was approached by Gabriel, she pondered these things. When the shepherds came and talked to Mary and Joseph, she treasured these things in her heart. When they took baby Jesus to the temple and they had him dedicated, and the priest came and gave this really crazy saying and dedication of Jesus that proclaimed him to be the one chosen one, it says that Mary pondered these treasured these things in her heart. Mary understood that when heaven and earth connect, it's a sacred night. It's a sacred moment. And what we find in that first Christmas is that it was filled with human wonder and divine glory. And that first night was so inspirational. So inspirational. And as we fast forward from that first Christmas to our Christmas today, we can see that tonight can be filled with wonder and can be filled with glory as we reflect on the sacred night when heaven touched earth in human experience. And not only can it be inspirational for us, but it can actually be, and I like this word, transformational. Because what Jesus accomplished throughout the period of his lifetime, as he grew to become a man and then went to the cross and died and came back that first Easter Sunday morning, what that power enables for us is to have a life that is changed. A life that is transformed into what I would want it to be, into what he would want it to be. And my life can become a sacred connection between God and me. Do you experience that in your life? This transformational sacredness of the night. I just want to leave us in this series with one thought, that tonight, this first Christmas, was a connection between heaven and earth, and therefore a sacred connection. You know, sometimes I wonder, what would have been like if Gabriel hadn't had that sacred moment with Mary? What if he never would have arrived and told her the story? What would our world be like if that sacred night had never taken place? What would our world be like if the angels had never appeared to the shepherds, and if that sacred moment where heaven connected with earth, if that moment never took place, what would our earth be like? What would our earth be like if the wise men had never come and bowed before the baby Jesus? What if the star had never appeared to them and given them the message of hope that could be found in him? What if that night had never occurred? What if the manger scene had never occurred? What if Mary and Joseph didn't get connected to God in that way? What would our world be like if that had never taken place? Our world would still be looking for the light. We would still be searching in the darkness of sorrow. We would be searching for a way to find joy in the midst of the difficulties. We would be walking through our sorrowful experiences all alone. We would be walking in the darkness of suffering. We would be suffering in our bodies. We would be walking through the hurtful things of life all alone. And we would be most of all suffering and walking through the darkness of sin, living a life craving to be connected to God, craving for His grace, crying out for His love. We would be walking in the darkness of sorrow. We would be walking in the darkness of suffering. We would be walking in the darkness of sin. But glory to God, there came a night. There came a night when heaven came down and connected to earth. There came that sacred moment of the first Christmas. So no longer do we have to walk this world in the darkness of suffering. I know that some of you this past year have gone through sufferings. You've gone through loss. You've gone through pain. You've been given that diagnosis from the doctor. You have watched someone leave who was precious to you, and you've suffered through that. And the joy of the Christmas story is that you don't have to walk through that alone, because He came. And He wants to create a night like tonight to be a sacred night where He can come down and He can touch our hearts. Some of you have gone through a year of sorrow, that you've lost jobs or you've lost relationships, and you've been walking in this sorrow alone. I want to encourage you, tonight is a sacred night. It's a night when God wants to reach down and touch your heart and bring you the light of joy, the light of His grace, the light of His goodness. And most of all, some of us are still walking in the darkness of sin. We haven't come to God for His forgiveness and His grace. We haven't come to God and called out to Him to be our Savior and our Lord and to be the King of our life. And so we're still walking with a burden and the load of sin. Tonight can be that sacred night where heaven touches your heart and you call out to God and you say, God, bring Your grace, bring Your forgiveness. I call out to You to be my Lord and my Savior. That's our hope for us tonight. That's our desire, that you would experience the light of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the sacred touch of heaven to earth. So it's our hope and it's our prayer that you're not walking this world alone, that you're not carrying those sorrows all by yourself. You're not walking through the waters of suffering all by your lonesome, but that you can have a sacred experience with God, that you aren't carrying that burden of sin, the regrets of the past, but that we can lay Him at His feet and ask for His grace and His forgiveness. And that little child, that little manger baby, did everything that it took to turn my life, to turn your life from common to sacred. And that's what we want to remember tonight. I'm going to remember tonight. So would you stand with me? As we traditionally do here, you can turn and look around. And on the count of three, we're going to take our candles from in front of us and lift them up above us. And the symbol is very clear, that you can have the light of the baby Jesus, the sacred moment in your life when you call out to Him. And then those of us that have Christ in our life, we're to share that light with others around us. And so as we lift this over our heads, we can see the difference in the room just between holding it in front of us and holding it over us as we go from this place and we decide that we're going to share the love of Jesus with those around us. So on a count of three, let's lift this over our head. One, two, three, and look around and see the room. As you hold them there, let me say a prayer. Dear God, thank you that tonight is a sacred night. It's not an ordinary night. That 2,000 years ago, heaven touched earth in human experience, and you became real to Mary and Joseph. You became real to the shepherds. You became real to the wise men. And Lord, throughout the last thousands of years, you have become real to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And tonight, those that are here in this room, Lord, we want it to not just be a common night, but to be a sacred night. May we call out to you in our sorrow and ask for your comfort. May we call out to you in our suffering and ask for your peace. May we call out to you in our sin and ask for cleansing and forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for the baby Jesus. And may we share his love and his light with those around us as we go from this place. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing a simple Christmas song together as we close.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. Thanks for coming.